Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And as repentance is the way into the kingdom and always involves laying down arms in the revolt against this world's true king, so the refusal to lay arms down, deciding instead to continue to fight on the side of the dragon all the way to the end, that is simply the path to eternal destruction.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Phew! We tracked along with 3 more bowls of wrath last time, the fourth angel striking the sun and making it blaze so fiercely that people were scorched by it and cursed God. And we heard from the fathers a division of opinion about whether we are to understand that as a literal future event or as an inner spiritual event. Then the fifth angel pouring out darkness upon the throne of the beast, the kingdom of Antichrist, and plunging it into darkness. And yet the people persisted in their hatred of God, gnawing their tongues in pain, but absolutely refusing the way of repentance. The sixth angel mysteriously poured his bowl on the Euphrates, and it dried up, thus preparing the way for the ominous kings of the east. Remember, for Israel and then later for Rome, the east was the frontier you really worried about. Think of how the Mongols would eventually sweep from the steppes of Asia and conquer. And don't forget that this was no mere marauding and pillaging people. It was organized and inspired by the unholy alliance between dragon, beast, and false prophet, that is the second beast, and they worked together to assemble all the kings of the whole earth, which we may take as all political power, to enforce their will and to persecute God's holy church, which refuses to knuckle under to their demands. Continuing then, a reading from Revelation, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there never had been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into 3 parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found, and great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on the people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. Revelation 16, verses 17 through 21. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. All right, now, before getting into the reading today, let's back up and think some about Armageddon, which clearly refers to the great last confrontation, the final battle, in which all opposition to God will be wiped out for good. The word itself may come from Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 14, where the king of Babylon speaks in his pride of taking his seat, his throne, if you will, on the Mount of Assembly, which is kind of close to a transliteration of Armageddon, but not exactly. Or it could be a transliteration of the Hebrew for desirable or fruitful mountain. And on both of these suggestions, Martin Fransman, the 20th century commentator on Revelation, notes, there is a certain plausibility in either suggestion. It is on Mount Zion that the Lamb has appeared with his troops prepared for holy war. And in chapter 20, verse 9, the last attack of Satan's forces is directed against the beloved city, Jerusalem. And last but not least, Armageddon may refer to Mount Carmel as the Mount of Megiddo, a city which lay about 6 miles distant from the foot of that mountain. In that case, it would evoke the Battle of Deborah and Barak against Sisera, or the confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. So, as you see, it would be really hard to choose which of these Old Testament allusions is intended, because they all kind of work. Isaiah 14, nicely tied up to Babylon, desirable or fruitful mount to Zion and the Church of the Lamb, and Carmel to the confrontation between God's people and his enemies. Maybe they all roll into the background of the mysterious term Armageddon. Now, moving into today's text, verse 17. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." As we've noted before, the loud voice coming out of the temple is God himself speaking. And here, as the angel lets loose this last bit of wrath curiously into the air, the voice of God announces, "It's done," or "It's over." I think the reference to the air suggests the words of St. Paul when he wrote of native human sinfulness in Ephesians 2, verse 2, "Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Thus, this last plague comes crashing down on Satan's realm, and God announces that the days when he permitted this revolt to go forward are over. "It's done" is akin to a fed-up dad announcing, "That's it," to a disobedient and rebellious little one. You know what comes next. Verse 18. "And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake." So all the signs of theophany, which we encounter, remember, at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19, "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain." Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. Earthquake. When the Creator shows up in his glory, creation reels and staggers. Verse 19. "The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great, to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath." Babylon, remember, was code name for Rome. But did you notice that it wasn't just Rome that experiences this wrath? The cities of the nations fell. The wrath is aimed at every entrenched political or religious area of revolt which Satan has inspired humanity to embrace. And against such final and persistent rebellion, the future holds but one thing: draining the cup of the fury of God's wrath. Note that the fury is added to wrath as an intensifier. Rome likes to call itself the eternal city. But here God announces that no people or place that persist in revolt against the Lord Jesus has a future. Verse 20. "And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found." The idea of islands picking up and running away and mountains collapsing to level ground suggests the total cosmic upheaval that awaits the final revealing of the Son of Man. When he appears, all the stuff people think is rock solid and permanent will be shown to be shaking and transitory. verse 21, and great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. So another evocation of the Exodus. For in Exodus 9, we read about the plague of hail and how those who feared God and believed his word removed their possessions from the field before the hail arrived. And even after it arrived, Pharaoh at least repented for a time, begging that this horrible visitation be removed. But this passage also calls to mind Joshua going to war for the Gibeonites, who had entered into an alliance with God's people, Israel, against the five kings of the Amorites, who were determined to keep Israel out of the promised land, Joshua 10. And as they fled before Israel while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. In just the same way, at the end of the ages, the enemies of God's people will take flight before our Joshua, our Jesus, as his coming is marked by the mother of all thunderstorms, for he will indeed come in the clouds. And did you notice that the theme of impenitence is reinforced? Instead of crying for mercy, for pardon, they curse. This reminds me of the two men who hang beside our Lord at his crucifixion. When confronted with our own death, they show there's only two paths we can take. You either continue to revile Jesus for what you're going through, cursing God in anger and hatred and fear, or you can turn to him in repentance and faith and beg him to remember you when he comes into his kingdom. Hell or paradise lie at the end of either path. And as repentance is the way into the kingdom and always involves laying down arms in the revolt against this world's true king, so the refusal to lay arms down, deciding instead to continue to fight on the side of the dragon all the way to the end, that is simply the path to eternal destruction. As the church sings, then woe to those who scorned the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judge's stern command to Satan be delivered. That's where we're going to wrap up for today, people loved by God. Next up, like in a dream, we seem to get a pause in the action yet again, and John is summoned to behold the judgment that befalls the great prostitute seated on many waters. What on earth is that all about? She induces the kings of the earth to commit sexual immorality. She makes the dwellers on earth drunk. She's seated on a scarlet beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, hence the first beast. That is, she's located in Rome, and she's duded up something fancy. She's got purple and scarlet clothes, and she glitters with all manner of jewels and pearls, sipping from a golden cup that's full of abominations and in the impurities of her sexual adventures. The name on her forehead is a mystery, that is, a code, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And the woman is drunk herself, not with wine, though. She's been guzzling down the blood of the saints, the blood of Jesus as martyrs. Much to ponder next time. Till then, my friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.